Welcome to Unaccompanied, the podcast. I'm your host, Josie, a self-professed monophobe on a journey to ditch the noise, overcome my fears, and start living a more fulfilling life unaccompanied. Before I jump into this week's episode, I want to encourage you, my budding solo adventurous, to take a moment to leave a review over on Apple Podcasts. Your review will help other like-minded individuals find the podcast and hopefully inspire others to start their very own solitude journeys. Okay, so let's move along to our opening segment. I still don't have a catchy title for this segment of the show yet, but if you have suggestions, leave me a voice note over on the Anchor app. I would definitely be interested to hear from my listeners if you have a catchy title for this segment. But this is the part of the show where I share and then discuss a relevant trending story, article, or study. Today, I actually have two items. The first is the Netflix original documentary, The Social Dilemma. And the second is an APA article by Michael Price entitled Alone in the Crowd. Of course, to watch the Social Dilemma documentary, you will need a Netflix membership. But the link for the article will be in the description box for those of you who are interested in reading that. So let's dive into the Social Dilemma documentary on Netflix. This actually was causing quite a stir. I know quite a few other people have done podcasts and videos on this. I didn't want to read too much into those because I didn't want that to color my opinions on that documentary. I wasn't really sure why it was getting such a stir online because honestly, most of the information shared was kind of stuff I figured out on my own as a quote-unquote user of these platforms, which really informed my decision to ultimately delete my social media accounts, with the exception of YouTube and Pinterest, but I've since deleted Pinterest. Anyways, this is some of my really big takeaways after watching the documentary. And the first one for me was that social media platforms are built to be addictive. They talked about in the documentary this technology called persuasive technology. And in that technology is all about changing and modifying human behavior. I mean, this was not any surprise to me as, again, a user of these platforms. I noticed myself spending more and more time on these platforms. And this is by design. This is not just a happy byproduct of these platforms being awesome. This is exactly how these are built to operate and function. Another really interesting thing that stood out, I was really watching this from a specific lens of the topic that we talk about here in this podcast, which is, you know, mental health, ability to be alone and be alone well and embrace solitude. So one of the things that was interesting in watching this was that one of the psychologists interviewed said that there has been a huge spike in anxiety, depression, and suicide rates in American teens. Not surprisingly, this spike started right around the time that social media started becoming really popular. Also interesting is that loneliness has been on the rise. And they specifically talk about American teens. I would kind of wager that loneliness is on the rise amongst just across generations. As we have become more hyper-connected, I do believe that we are going to see more and more rates of loneliness in our society. Another big takeaway for me was that in a lot of ways, social media has become a digital pacifier of sorts. So whenever we have any feelings or emotions that we'd rather avoid, or, you know, maybe we're faced with an uncomfortable situation, we can just simply reach for our phones or social media and we don't have to actually address those feelings. Of course, the relief that these our devices and social media is able to provide is very temporary and extremely fleeting. However, the addictive design of these platforms means that we are constantly chasing the next hit. In the article, Alone in the Crowd, while it does also look at social media, the focus of this article is more about its impact on our personal relationships and our ability to connect with others. For those of you who would have listened to episode 1, you understand why this is such an important topic, because our ability to connect with others and have meaningful relationships with others is so intricately tied to our relationship that we have with ourselves. And I encourage you, if you haven't listened to episode 1, to go ahead and listen to episode 1 just so you can get some of that foundational understanding before you maybe delve into this podcast series and this episode. Anyways, for me, the big takeaways from this article is that we are more connected than ever, but more disconnected in our unplugged lives. The article goes on to add that social media is actually having a really detrimental effect on our real world personal relationships. The article referenced a study by Turkle, which found that the more someone devoted to online connections, the more isolated they tended to feel in their non-virtual lives. For me, I felt like these social media platforms are really good at allowing us to sidestep what is difficult and what is uncomfortable. So for many of us, that has also meant sidestepping the discomfort associated with being alone. Ironically, as we discussed in episode 1 again, the failure to learn how to be alone means that we're constantly feeling lonely. And I think that's really ironic because we have this illusion of like hyper connectivity and we're so connected. But if you go and you ask the average person, a lot of people are actually feeling very, very alone. And again, I posit that the reason for that is because social media allows us to avoid nurturing and building that relationship with ourselves. Michael, the author of this article, writes, in a sense, by being always connected, we become dependent on the presence of others for validation in the most basic ways. If we rely on others, especially strangers on the internet, to define and validate us as people, is it really any wonder why so many of us are left feeling so empty and ultimately alone? Like I said, we talked about this in episode 1. Feeling good about ourselves isn't inside job. It has to come from you. Sadly, just as social media has made it super easy to avoid our relationship with others that might be uncomfortable, that might be complicated, it has also afforded us that ability to negate our relationship with ourselves, resulting in what I think is the increased loneliness, even as we move to a world that is more connected than it has ever been in the history of humanity. Okay, guys, now let's move on to the solo adventure story segment. Solo adventures is something I started doing when I began my solitude journey as a way to challenge myself to begin to foster a more meaningful relationship with myself. So each week I set aside time to do a fun activity by myself. Activities range from the mundane, like people watching, to more fantastic stuff like travel to a new city alone, own. My hope is the more positive experiences I'm able to rack up, the less scary being alone is going to become, and to hopefully inspire you along the way. Each episode, I'll take you along on one of my adventures or recount a recent solo adventure with you guys. This week, I want to talk about my recent hike to Governor Dodge State Park. This was a different experience, guys. If you listen to episode one, you hear how it went when I went over to Devil's Lake. Unlike my Devil's Lake experience, this felt so incredibly different. Not even 10 minutes into my afternoon hike, I could feel this like slow creeping feeling building up inside of me. And it was this feeling of like anxiety. At which point I started to really like seriously consider turning around, heading back to my car and calling it a day. Why did this solo hike feel so much different than the other one, you might be wondering? Well, the answer I think is pretty simple. This time, unlike the other time at Devil's Lake, I was completely alone. I mean, like dead silent, no one on the trail for the entirety of my hike. I ended up spending about an hour hiking. I saw no one ever at any point during my hike. It felt so uncomfortable that I almost tapped out early. Like I said, at my Devil's Lake hike, there was like a steady flow of people on the trail that would pass me by. Some would stop for brief conversation. Some would smile and wave as they passed. Now, here I was on a trail with nothing more than my thoughts to keep me company, and it really caught me off guard, I think. There were a couple times where I considered using my phone again as that digital pacifier to help me escape this discomfort I was feeling. Thankfully, though, I was able to push through, but it really took everything in me to just sit with my discomfort and just push on through it. In the end, I ended up walking just over 3 miles in about an hour, but it definitely was not the relaxing Zen experience I had at Devil's Lake. There was a lot of like angst and discomfort in the absolute quiet and silence I was feeling and experiencing at this hike. And I wanted to share this experience with you because I think it's important to acknowledge that sometimes during this journey, it is going to be tough. There will be times where you are going to feel uncomfortable, especially if, like me, you've never been taught how to embrace your own company. But what is important to remember is that on the other side of these challenges and of all these uncomfortable feelings and situations is going to be growth, is going to be the ability to be alone well, the ability to have healthy, fulfilling relationships with ourselves, and ultimately more fulfilling relationships with others. All right, guys, that's a wrap for today's solo adventure segment, short and sweet. I'd love to hear from my listeners. Do you have an inspirational solo adventure you'd like to share? If so, leave me a voice note via the Anchor app describing the experience and what you've learned, and you could be featured in an upcoming solo adventure segment. We're at that point in the show where I give you concrete tips and strategies for fostering a more positive relationship with yourself. This episode today was really about exploring how social media can and does often interfere with our ability to foster meaningful relationships with ourselves. So what better way to wrap up this conversation than by sharing some strategies for managing social media so it doesn't get in the way of the work we're trying to do? So one of the first suggestions comes from the Social Dilemma documentary. And one of the insiders that was interviewed suggested turning off your social media account notifications, but also your notifications for your email and other maybe apps that you have on your phone. For me, this is something I've been doing now forever. I have a friend who is like notorious for not getting back to text messages or phone calls because her phone stays on silent. And that's a policy I have now adopted and kind of extended into my social media apps and email accounts, turning those notifications off. And I can say it has definitely had an impact on my ability to focus on what is important. And one of the things that is important to me right now is my relationship with myself. So that is something I highly recommend to people listening to this podcast. Another strategy suggested from Turkle from the Alone in the Crowd article is creating sacred spaces. So this is really about no phones in the bedroom or say at dinner or when you're out on a date. This is something I have recently started implementing. I've noticed that I used to mindlessly scroll myself to sleep. Since I've kind of created my bedroom as a safe space, once my bedtime has arrived, I plug my phone up in the living room and I do not bring it into the bedroom with me. And I think it has dramatically improved my sleep, but it has also helped create a healthier relationship with my device and with these applications. Another tip, and this is something I kind of stumbled upon recently, for all my Samsung S9 users, and maybe they have this on the newer Samsung S family, you are actually able to go to settings, and there's like a well-being setting that allows you to set goals, manage your phone usage with app timers. There's a focus mode where you can automatically block notifications during specific times. There's a wind down mode where the phone automatically changes to grayscale to block that blue light at a specific time. And again, this is just another tool that you can use to help manage your relationship with social media so that it doesn't, again, get in the way of what we're trying to do, which is, again, prioritize our relationship with ourselves. So to quickly recap, for some, social media is simply a means to stay in touch. However, for the vast majority of us, it has become a digital pacifier, allowing us to avoid what is challenging, what makes us uncomfortable. Sadly, though, while these platforms may be able to fill the void in the short term, in the long term, they do absolutely nothing to address the underlying issue, which is until we learn to be alone and be alone well, we will always feel lonely. Even with 50 million Twitter followers. So to close, I want to leave you with a short quote I heard recently. Where your focus goes, your energy flows. Not sure whose quote this is, but I think it underscores the importance of really reining in our social media use, because the truth is there's limited hours in the day and our focus is not infinite. Meaning, unless we prioritize our relationship with ourselves and limit distractions, it is unlikely we will ever develop the kind of meaningful relationship with ourselves that allows us to truly never be alone again.
Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of Unaccompanied, the podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to share and follow this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, Josie out.